Well, I'm thankful this morning to know the Holy Spirit that was sung of a moment ago. There is nothing like feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can you think of anything in this world that it has to offer that equals being in a place where the Holy Spirit is present? I don't know of anything or any place. And what a privilege it is that we can know the Holy Spirit, that we can feel His presence, that He's called us each one by name. Truly, I want to live my life so that the Holy Spirit is willing to live in my heart and life. I don't ever want to be separated from the Lord and His Spirit. I suspect that no one here this morning likes the feeling of being helpless. We don't like the feeling of being in bondage or being in a place where we don't have free movement, where somebody else has control over us in a way that we don't have control over our own body movements. I remember when the children were young, I may have done it when they were old too, but playing with them on the floor, and if there was a blanket, you wrap them up in a blanket pretty tight, and their arms are inside the blanket, and their happiness starts to turn to terror, very uncomfortable feeling, real quick when they discover that they can't move, and that their arms can't move, and they start feeling probably claustrophobic a little bit. And I tried to be kind to them and let them out before it turned to just, you know, too far out of control. We don't like that feeling, do we? We don't like it when we feel like we can't move and that we don't have control over what it is that we want to do and that it's out of our hands. And as I thought about that, don't we feel that sometimes in life? Have you ever been there in life where you felt like that you were not in control of something that had control over you, where you felt in bondage to something? Have you ever been there? I suspect that we all have been in those places where we felt that way. But the message this morning is that the Lord brought to us a power and a help and a grace that delivers us from those places in life where we feel captive. And so that's my little message that I want to leave with you this morning. And I'd like to back up just a little bit and start in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And the first verse says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And I want to stop right there and focus maybe on this verse a little differently than sometimes maybe we do. Did you hear what it said? It said, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so what? What did it say?
Easily beset.
Easily beset us. It didn't say, well, let's lay aside the weights and the sin that don't often beset us. Let's lay aside the weights and the sin that don't tempt us. Excuse me. Let's lay aside the weights and the sin that, well, it takes quite a bit for it to get a hold of us. But let's lay aside those. That's not what the Scripture said. The Scripture, Paul was exhorting us to lay aside the weights and the sins that easily beset us. That easily beset us. And you know what? That is not often an easy thing to do. You know why it's not easy? Because they easily beset us. The Scripture That's what the scripture's saying. It's talking about things that easily beset us. And sometimes, you know, you can read this verse really fast. Worked with an electrician one time, and he liked saying, well, if you say it real fast, it's easier to do. If you just say it real fast, it sounds easier. If you can just move through it real quick, you can move on to something else, and it takes away from what it is you're really asking to be done. If you say it real quick, then you can go back to your office and leave it up to them to figure out how to do it. If you read this verse too quick to move through it, you think, oh, well, yeah, we need to lay aside the weights and the sins that beset us and that easily beset us, and we'll just run with patience, and it all sounds really good. But when you start getting down into the meat of it, Paul is talking about laying aside those things, not the things that tempt you, not the things that you have a propensity or a tendency to naturally do and go after, but the things that I have a problem with. He's talking about the things that easily get me, Rod Smith, off track. Because those are going to be the things that cause me problems, right? If I'm tempted or I'm drawn to certain things in this race, I need to understand what they are. I need to define them. I need to get them out so that I can say, these things right here, they have a tendency to easily get me off track. Why easily? Because I'm drawn to it. That's why it's not hard for it to get me off track. He wasn't talking about those things. He's talking about the things that easily get us off track. That's what he was saying here. And the message to you this morning, and this is a message that I have been really encouraged with. I wish there were more here. I have been encouraged with this message for myself the past week or so, that the Lord came, the good news of the gospel is, the Lord came to give us strength and power and grace to enable us to lay aside the things, not just the sins, but the weights that easily beset me. Now I'll just say this. You know the things that easily beset me a lot of times are close coupled to who Rod Smith is? Naturally, it's how I'm made up. It's the things that, it's like, I wish I wasn't born this way. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Have you ever heard someone say, I wish I wasn't born this way? And they're serious. Paul said in one place, I do the things that I wish I didn't do. And the things that I wish I didn't do, I find myself doing them. He's talking about before the grace and power of the Lord came to play. Because we'll remind you here in a couple minutes, we'll just repeat it, I guess. This is the very person who says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. The same person who said, these things I wish I didn't do, I find myself doing. What is he talking about? We're created and we're made and we're all made up in a way, and there's things naturally about us that we find ourselves doing. And sometimes we wish, I wish that I could just flip the switch and that wouldn't be me. Why do I tend to say these sorts of things in these circumstances? Why is it that I tend to feel this way? I tell you, I can predict myself before the situation ever comes up. So can Kathy. She can predict. Sometimes she says things to me, and I know her well enough, and I know she knows me well enough, and I can tell that her mind is down the road. And she's predicting where I'm going to find myself down the road and how it's going to be, because she knows how I am. And I do the same with myself. I'm honest enough, more honest probably now than I've been in years past. The older I get, thankfully the Lord's allowing me to just go ahead and be honest with myself, where I recognize, oh my goodness, I don't feel this way right now, but I see that right down ahead, there's there's an intersection I'm going to pass through, and if I look over in the past, it seems like every time I go through that intersection, I find myself feeling this way. And I don't know why I feel this way, and I don't want to feel this way. I don't want it to be like this. Why is it going to be like this? You get frustrated with yourself. The Lord came to give us power and strength and grace over those very things. And Paul, these are the things that Paul's talking about, I believe. That's the ways the Lord inspired me with. Lay the things aside that easily beset you. It's really easy for me to go through life. And I know I'm repeating this a little bit, but I want you to get a hold of it. It'd be easy for me to go through life and focus on the things that I don't have a big problem with. Be easy for me to preach about things that I don't have a big problem with. Preach about things like alcohol and stealing and looking at things I shouldn't look at. It's not something I have a problem with, really. These are things that don't tempt me, really. The Lord knows that. I can preach about these things, and that's pretty easy if I just talk about the things that don't beset me really easily. You know, preach about, you know, doing the things you, behaving yourself when you're on the road. Those aren't temptations to me when I'm by myself. Kathy can come with me and she can stay home and she's pretty much going to see the same Rod whether she's with me or not. But there's other things that do beset me. And it'd be easy for me to just kind of push those things off to the side. Those are the things God wants me to start focusing on, because they're things that can beset me in my Christian life, and they can cause me to lose my soul. And they can cause you to lose your soul, and they can be weights. And they get you, they just pretty much predictably, they're going to get you in this spot. You're going to find yourself losing patience in these certain circumstances every time. Unless you let the power of the Lord come. And the good news this morning is, the Lord has the power to do this. Do you think that the Lord has the power to cause the blind eyes to see and to touch the lame and they walk again like this with His power? A work that the people, the lady with the issue of blood, she tried everything. She'd done everything she knew to do. And she couldn't, what did it say? She'd seen the physicians, I think it said that. She'd done all she could to do. But there wasn't any, she got to the place where it was, there's not anything I can do but the Lord. She touched the hem of His garment, and the power of the Lord went through that lady and she was healed right then. The power of the Lord was there when she had no power. And I read these things and I think, Lord, hey, like a revelation. Wait a minute. Lord, You can heal me of this. Lord, these things that I'm easily beset with, You can heal me of this. Lord, I can get to the place where I recognize I've tried it and I don't know. I always fail and I try to use some willpower. I'm purposing my heart. Okay, I'm going to be strong this time. I'm going to put on a different face. I'm going to act different. And I find that I can't put on a different face and I can't act different. It all comes out all over again. But the Lord has healing for us. I believe it. I believe that we don't avail ourselves of the healing that the Lord has for us like He wants us to. And I believe that He wants us to experience more victory in life than what we're experiencing. I read somewhere this last week where He was talking to somebody and He said, what's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? And I believe the way that the Scripture said it, so that they would believe that He did have the power to forgive sins, He turned around and He told the man, take up your bed and walk. And he took up his bed and he walked. And then He said, and thy sins be forgiven thee. and close a couple of it right there. Isn't that wonderful? Do you believe when you pray that the Lord forgives you of your sins? I do. I believe it. I can pray and I believe, I have faith that when I ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins, that He's willing to forgive me of my sins. And I go away and I have experienced a peace and a forgiveness. But what about when we come to the Lord and we pray that He can help and give us power that we don't have over the things that easily beset us? What do we do then? I want to tell you this morning that the same power that forgives sins is the same power that can help give us a strength and a help and a grace that is above what we have today to deal with those things in our lives that easily beset us. It's good news this morning. It's good news. And it's out there for us. Sometimes I wonder, Rod, you've been living for the Lord for all of these years, 20, 30 years, over 30 years. And the power is there? Have I not availed myself sometimes of the power that the Lord has because of a lack of faith or a lack of diligence on my part? God can do it. He healed all these people. He forgives us of our sins. He's perfectly capable of it, and it's what He came to do. Listen, I want to read you some wonderful verses in Luke, the fourth chapter of Luke. Listen to what Jesus said. I don't know if it was here or somewhere else I was preaching about this, or read it, or maybe it was at home and been in worship. I can't remember. I wish, maybe it was here. I wish that I could have been here in the temple when Jesus got up that wonderful day and He walked into the temple, as it said that He was apt to do on the Sabbath day in the 16th verse, and He got up to read, and the book of Isaiah was given to Him, and He opened up the book of Isaiah, and this is what He read. Oh, if I could have been there to watch Jesus, the Son of God, read these words and to feel the Spirit that we heard in the song this morning. The Spirit that was in the place at this time. I believe that all that were there, whether they loved the Lord or whether they... I just feel like they felt the Spirit of the Lord descend on that place, and Jesus stood up. And He was given the words of the prophet Isaiah, and He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." It said He closed the book and He gave it to the minister, and He sat down, and it said all eyes were upon Him. Why? Something ministered to their heart. The Spirit of the Lord was upon the Lord that day when He read those words. The Spirit of the Lord was upon the Lord, if I can say it that way. Because He was the Lord, and it was Jesus. And I believe that this is me, this is my thought. I know the Holy Spirit hadn't come like He came on the day of Pentecost, but I believe the Spirit of the Lord came down, because the Scripture said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me. And the Lord, the Anointed One, was there that day, and He preached the gospel of good news. And when I read through this verse, the poor, He sent Him to preach the gospel to the poor, and to the brokenhearted, and to the ones that were captive, and those that were blind, and those that were bruised. That's me. He was preaching to me. He's preaching to you. Can't you put yourself in some of these places? Have you ever been bruised? Have you been hurt? Have your eyes been blinded where you can't see like you want to see? Spiritual things, maybe? Have you been in a place where you felt like you were captive to something that you don't want to be captive to? That's what Jesus came for. That's why He was anointed to come and to bring the gospel of deliverance to those that were held captive. And listen, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, right along these lines, Ephesians 4 and 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Not according to your willpower. Not according to how much you've drawn a line in the sand and said, "Well, I'm just not going to go over this, and I'm going to be strong in myself, and I'm going to demonstrate a mental strength." No, it's not a grace according to that. I believe sometimes we limit the grace of God, and this doesn't make sense. Sometimes we limit the grace of God to our own strength. Saints, that's not the grace of God. Sometimes I feel like that's what we limit ourselves to. We limit ourselves to our own willpower. We limit ourselves to the strength that we have naturally within us. God came to give us a gift of grace. A gift of grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This grace, it's unmerited. It's a gift. And the Lord has something for you this morning. The Lord gave me this message for this morning. Never preached this message before. Have never had this message before. There's a very few of us here. I believe that the Lord gave me this message for a reason, perhaps just for me, but maybe for you too. And I want to tell you this morning that the Lord has a grace for you this morning to address perhaps a weight or a sin that you are easily beset by. And He has unmerited favor of God, a power that He wants to work in us through Him. "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive." I've never heard that phrase before, except here. The Lord is able to take captivity and lead it captive. Do you get that? That's wonderful.
Yes, amen.
The Lord can come into my life and He can take a hold of that thing that holds me captive and wraps me up to where I don't feel like I have power over it. And He can take the very thing that is holding me captive, and He can take that captivity and He can go hold it captive. How about that? How about that?
And besides, He takes it. It's no longer...
it's no longer ours. He takes it. Takes it away from us and holds it captive, so that we no longer have to be held captive to it. Do you believe it? It's the Word of the Lord. I'm preaching Scripture. It's not my opinion. I'm reading out of the Gospel. It can affect me. It's for me. Where are you held captive today? Do you know there's all kinds of things that the enemy can come and hold us captive to, and things that are our human and natural tendencies sometimes too. Do you suffer from discouragement? Does that hold you captive? How about worry? I will acknowledge I tend to be a worrier. I tend to be anxious sometimes when I don't think the Lord wants me to be. We can be held captive to worry and anxiety. And how is this going to turn out? What am I going to do? And what about this? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And if that happens, then this is going to happen. And if that happens, this is going to happen. And then if all that happens, this is where I'm... And none of it's happened yet. But you can be held captive to worry. How about guilt? How about guilt of sins of the past? The Lord wants us to trust in His blood to the point that we don't have to suffer from guilt of sins that have already been forgiven us. The Lord wants to deliver us from the guilt of the sins of the past that He's forgiven us from. Sometimes we're held captive to errors and sins that we've made. How about pride? You know when people preach about pride and they talk about pride, and I'm going to speak from myself. You know, a lot of times you can sit back there and they start preaching about pride and you can say, well, I'm not proud. You know, you think of somebody that, you know, just seems like they really are, almost would tell you that they're proud. But did you know that a lot of the things that we do in life, I want to just say it like this, a lot of the decisions that we make, and sometimes the things that we worry about, is because we have too much pride. I think pride works pretty deceptively sometimes.
Yes.
I think sometimes we have elements of pride that if we could truly gain deliverance from this thing of pride, it would solve a lot of problems in our life from the standpoint of having peace. The enemy would like to cause us not to identify it as pride. The Lord came to lead it captive so that we didn't have to be in captivity to it. How about addictions? People have addictions of all kinds of things people are addicted to. And they don't want to do it, but they can't help themselves, it seems like. And then they try to push it aside, and then they almost start sweating because it's right there, and it just can't. It's just... And sometimes it's not things we take in. Sometimes it's things that people just feel like they have to watch, or they have to listen to, or they have to be a part of, they're just taken with it. And to try to separate them from that, they can't hardly figure out how they can go through life without having this thing a part of their life. They're captive to it. Fashion and the way we look is a thing that so many people are held in bondage to. Sometimes I was sitting in my chair the other day thinking, I was thinking about this, I thought, I sure am glad that I don't have to spend an hour and a half in front of the mirror in the morning. I sure am glad I can get out of bed and get out of there as quick as possible and get out on the road. And I remember hearing somebody say one time, I think I was in junior high or high school, I can't remember, talking about how early they got up in the morning. Well, they got up at, I don't remember what it was. It was an hour that was just, I was sound asleep. It was like 4:30 or 5, or, I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm sorry, I don't know what everybody's practice. But the reason they got up so early was because it took them so long to get around. You look at some of the people out there on how they're made up, and how they present themselves, they're in bondage. They're in bondage to it. We don't have to be in bondage to those things. How about things that we look at? Things that we listen to? You can't hardly pull the earbuds out of some people these days. You can't hardly sit down around the dinner table or go. It's a thing in manufacturing places or places of business. It's happening to be this thing where, no, you can't have your cell phone in the workplace. You can't have put earbuds in your ear while you're doing your work. And it's like taking a limb off of somebody when you tell them you can't do that. People are held captive to so many things in this life. Or maybe it's unforgiveness. It's all sorts of things that we have that it seems like we just can't hardly let go of. You fill in the blank what it is for you. But the good news this week, we could talk about all kinds of things this morning that people are held captive to. But the good news this morning is the Lord has victory for us. He has power for us. We don't have to go through life always being in captivity to a lack of patience. I was not born with a lot of patience. But you know what? I can't go through life and always point and say, well, that's just the way I'm made up. I don't believe that that's what the Lord wants from me. I believe the Lord wants me to get to the place where I have a measure of patience that supersedes what I can do in my own willpower. Something that goes beyond that. A grace and a power that goes beyond what I can just do on my own. He has it for us. He has it for you with whatever it is. Do we have a part in this? We do. We have a part. We always do have a part, but it's always doable. When the Lord is the one that comes and says, this is the way, walk ye in it, He makes a way for us. So I'd like to read part of our part, and I'll try to wrap it up here. But I'd like to turn to Jeremiah. This is another place, another scripture that we've read a lot from. The 29th chapter. And the 11th verse says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I love that verse. It's a favorite verse of many. It's a beautiful verse, and it would be real easy if we could just stop right there at that verse and not have to go any further. And say, thank the Lord for the expected end. Thank you, Lord, for the good thoughts that you think towards me. Lord, I'm glad I don't have to do a whole lot about it. I'm glad you paid the price on the cross. I'm glad for the grace that you have. And I am glad for all of that. But we stop too quick sometimes. There's a part for us. The Lord has an expected end for us. He has good thoughts that He thinks towards us. But for that end to take place, for captivity to be led captive, we have a part to play. And this is the challenge part of the message this morning. Listen to what our part is. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Okay? Now, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to put in for some help. How do we have to put in for it? Well, he went on. And ye shall seek me and find me when you give it a half-hearted effort. Ye shall seek me and find me when you give it 30 minutes of just real diligent, uninterrupted prayer. Where we really think we're doing something sometimes when we pray for 30 minutes with no distractions. When you call upon me for an hour, you know what sometimes we do? We get real diligent before the Lord for an hour, for 30 minutes, for 15 minutes. And then we get up and we find that at the end of the day, we don't have power like we thought, and we're ready to throw our hands up and say, well, I guess I'm going to just have to live with how I am. I guess this is just how it's going to be. But you know what this verse said? Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. When was the last time you sought the Lord with all your heart? You don't have to answer me, but ask yourself, what is the definition of that in the Lord's mind? Since I'm exposing myself this morning, I guess I'll just go ahead and continue. When I read this verse, I will just tell you, I feel ashamed that I don't feel like I've sought the Lord with all of my heart in many of the areas that I should be seeking the Lord with all of my heart. I'm challenged with this. And you know what? When I look back over the past, I can point to you places where the Lord saw the desire of my heart and it was real, and I sought Him and He did exactly what He said He'd do. Coming here was one of them. We sought the Lord like we've never sought the Lord in my life. Day after day after day. Fasted and prayed and sought the Lord, and it was all consuming to us. And you know what? The Lord did exactly what He said He would do. He had thoughts of peace towards us. And He had an expected end for us. And His promise to us was sure. But we had to do our part. We had to seek Him with all of our heart. We had to get to the place where we were willing to just do whatever it was the Lord wanted us to do, regardless of the outcome, regardless of what it looked like. And He gave us what we needed. And when I read this and I remember that and I think about that, and there's another place in my life where I just look at it and marvel at what the Lord did for me. Because I said, I'm not going to do that. And He came in and gave power. He gave a healing that was just beyond what I could do on my own. And I look at that and I think, Lord, what about these other areas that I've struggled with, that are weights that seem like they just so easily beset me? What about those places? Why can't, Lord, I want power over those. I want healing over those. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm encouraged that I can have victory over those. I feel like the Lord gave this message for me. He has power for me. He wants to lead some of these places in our lives that hold us captive. He wants to release us. I've written a couple of verses down here. Psalms 32 and 5, I acknowledged my sin unto Thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. My message to you this morning is not that I'm not a sinner. I'm not living consciously in sin. I'm not trying to tell you this morning that I've been living a hypocritical life and that I'm willingly go out and sin. The Lord has saved me from sin. He's given me victory. But I feel challenged in my heart and my soul that places that have had a power over me, that I believe that the Lord is wanting to come and bring victory in areas that we struggle with. He wants us to have a greater peace. He wants us to have a greater victory. He wants us to have a closer walk with Him. He wants us to be able to have some additional Ebenezer stones that we can point to and say, the Lord gave me victory in that area right there. He has that for us. I acknowledged my sin unto Thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess. I will lay it all before the Lord. And Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And Proverbs 28:13 said, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. And I read these verses, and there is a progression. There's a progression here for us to get to the expected end that the Lord has for us. For us to be able to experience and point to places in our life where captivity has been led captive by the grace and the power of the Lord, before that happens, we have to be willing to get to the place where we just lay it all out. That's the first thing that was read here. I acknowledged. I confessed. I was willing, Lord, to expose myself. Just, this is who I am, and I don't like it. And I can't seem to do anything about it. And Lord, I need your help. And then pray till the answer comes. Sometimes the Lord isn't going to remove the battle, not preaching it higher than it is. But He can give us grace to go through the battle. David still had to face Goliath. Goliath didn't just disappear. David didn't just go down there and then because of his faith, all of a sudden he looked and was like, where'd Goliath go? I don't see Goliath anywhere. Well, thank the Lord, he took the battle. Nope. He still had to face Goliath. It was just like when Jehoshaphat went and the numbers of the enemy was greater than he, and he was worried about it, and the Lord said, this is my battle. I've got this one. This is mine. I'll fight this one for you. Oh, great. I'll just tell me, Lord, when it's over. Nope. He said, I'll fight this one for you, but you set yourself and you go ahead and you go out and you face the battle and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. You can't hide behind the wall. You can't just wait for me to take care of it while, and then you'll come out when it's all over with and the dust settles. You go forward and face the enemy and I'll fight it for you. The Lord doesn't always just remove everything in front of us, but He will and can give us victory. I'm convinced of it this morning. He can give us power that we didn't have before. And sometimes He puts places in our lives that I think He intentionally causes us to have to struggle with. Keeps us on our knees. Paul one time asked 3 times for something to be taken away. But the Lord came back and He said, my grace is sufficient. I'll give you the grace. When I'm weak, then am I strong. That's what Paul said. Why? When I'm weak, when those things that might easily beset me, I can be strong. Because the Lord has a power and a grace and a help in those areas for me. When I'm weak, then I can be strong. When I lay it all before the Lord and say, oh God, help me. And I seek Him with my whole heart. And I call upon Him. And I give Him. And He can tell by the way that I approach Him that I'm willing. I'm willing to go all the way. I'm serious about this. The Lord has promised to come and give us help where we need help. And I want to end with this verse in the 4th chapter of Hebrews. Paul said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us, remember what the promise was? Of entering into His rest. That's what it says. Let us therefore fear. In other words, He wants our attention. Better listen up. Better take this seriously. But you better have a little element of fear. Lest a promise being left you. That promise of entering into His rest, the rest that He has for us, any of you should seem to come short of. I don't want to come short of it. I don't want to live my life and get to the end of the way and the Lord say, I had everything you needed. But you came short of it because you weren't willing to seek me with your whole heart. You were too lackadaisical. You were too lazy in your approach. You didn't want change bad enough. You didn't trust me enough. You didn't have faith in you had faith that I would forgive your sins, but you didn't have faith to believe that I could heal you in a place that you needed healing in your life, in your personality, you didn't have faith to believe that I had grace to give you help and strength with who you are. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest. I believe that there is a rest. Well, that's Scripture. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And that rest becomes more restful the more things we can allow the Lord to deliver us from. The more we allow Him to lead into captivity the things that hold us captive, our rest increases. And He wants that for us. He wants that. That's an expected end that He has for us. So this morning, let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged this morning. Let's go away from here. Saints, don't be as the man that looked in the face, beheld himself, and then went away and straightway forgot what manner of man he was. Don't forget this message. It's a message to you this morning. It's a message that the Lord has victory for you. Don't leave it here in the chapel. Don't let it go to the wayside. God has some victories for us that He wants to give us. May God help us each one to go away challenged and encouraged to seek the face of the Lord until the answer comes. Amen.